You're doing the...
And welcome to the Court of Three podcast. This is your host, Spencer Breedlove, and I get to do this podcast with my lovely wife, Lisa, who has just returned from the beach, and she's looking forward to her next beach adventure. And Lisa, what we got today?
Well, we have a friend of ours that is going to be our guest on today's podcast, Angie Sanders. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that when we start the programming. But she is here to specifically talk to us about her journey with running. And
she just ran the Boston
most
Marathon.
Most recently, yeah. Yes, the Boston Marathon in April.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, before we get into that part of our conversation today, I got a little icebreaker question for us.
Oh, yes.
Since we love music, all right?
We do.
Since we do love the music piece, mm-hmm. Here's the question of the day. Question is, if your life had a theme song from the 80s and the 90s, what would it be?
Well, and you picked 80s and 90s probably because that's when we were growing up.
Well, yeah, right? That's when we were growing up. Yeah,
and
that was
the best.
That was the best
decades,
music.
Huh?
Absolutely.
Duh.
Absolutely.
All you young people think y'all have good music. I don't know. Lizzie had stuff playing today, and it was like this techno, and it just says the same thing over and over. But I don't know. Where's all the guitar solos and the drum solos and the?
Yeah, you were the Poison.
Oh yes,
Def Leppard.
Hair bands.
Big hair bands.
Headbanging.
Headbanging. Yes. Me, I was everything from Run DMC to MC Hammer.
Beastie Boys.
To the Beastie Boys.
Yes.
Yes. To the Beastie Boys. Let's see. We would pull out the cardboard and the big boom box, and we would set
to
it up
break dance.
To do break dancing. That's what we would do.
Wow.
We would do breakdancing in the middle of a cul-de-sac.
I wonder if you could do that now, honey.
Be doing some breakdancing?
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah, I could do some breakdancing.
Oh,
do a little backspin?
Oh,
I could do it.
I can see an injury coming on, people.
No. I've been working out for a year now.
But that doesn't mean you can breakdance. I'm not even sure you could breakdance back in the 80s.
I could breakdance.
Okay.
If you say so. I can do the worm.
In your parachute pants?
I can do the weight.
In your parachute pants?
Yes, in my parachute pants. Absolutely. So speaking of parachute pants,
oh, no.
I'll just go ahead and start it off.
Okay.
For the song.
Okay, you start.
This is the theme song mm-hmm. for your life.
Okay, but this is for you.
This is
life.
For me.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you ready?
We're ready.
You ready? Are you sure?
Yes, this is going to be good.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Yep, that's right.
That's a good
too
one.
Too legit to quit. Mm-hmm. That's mine right there, little
I'll get
MC
you that
Hammer.
On a t-shirt, honey.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Oh, my goodness.
So on that t-shirt, can you make sure mm-hmm. that it has MC Hammer on one side with his gold parachute pants?
Uh-huh.
That would be awesome.
Wow. You're not wearing that in public with me, though.
Oh, I would definitely wear that in public.
No. Okay, that was good.
Yep.
Okay, that was good. Mine's okay. Good, too.
What is yours?
Well...
Oh, sorry.
Hang on. That was a teaser.
Okay. Teaser.
Mine, and anybody that knows me will definitely agree with this choice of my life theme song.
Definitely.
It's from Sammy Hagar. I Can't Drive. 55.
There you go.
Drive 55. Just can't do it. I can't.
Can you hold it?
I can't drive 55.
She really can't drive 55.
Can't.
Of course, nowadays.
Well, now
have,
I'm being driven around.
You're being
I'm like Miss Daisy.
Yeah.
In the car. Lizzie's driving Miss Daisy. Lizzie's driving Miss Daisy.
And Lizzie can't drive 55.
I'm not sitting in the back, though. I'm sitting in the front.
Lizzie can't drive 55 either.
She told me today, she said, "Mom, I inherited road rage from you." I said, "You can't inherit road rage from someone."
Bless her.
I know. I'm sorry. I did. I said, "You got to work on it too, like I work on it." Okay, it's Angie's turn.
Uh-oh.
Yes, Angie's theme song for your life.
All right, this was is really hard to narrow it down.
It is hard,
so,
yes.
There are a number that I could choose, number of songs. That's close. All right. Hey, I'm getting used to this, y'all. Yeah, I've never done this before. So I would say Right Now by Van Halen.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one. So let's
play that.
Let's just get it to, because it's got like a long instrumental thing.
It's
here.
So good though.
Yeah. I know it's good, but I think it's
just,
like
just, right. Everybody just take it in. Just take it in. This is my running playlist.
Yes.
Yeah, here it is.
Here we go. It's short.
That's a good one. That's a good running song right there.
Great.
That would be
my
a
playlist.
Yeah. You could like grab that one on repeat in your ears. That's pretty
good. It's got a good cadence too. Uh-huh. So it's works.
I like
steps.
That.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, the cadence, I can definitely see where that would be incredibly helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right. So now that we've had our little icebreaker question, little theme music for the 80s and 90s. Lisa, this is your friend Angie.
Yes.
Our friend.
Yes.
Angie.
It is our friend. Angie works here at Westminster Christian Academy, and she is an art teacher, a very great art teacher for our lower school children, and they love when they have art as their special for that day. She is super talented with her gifts that God has given her in the realm of art and creativity. And I love that our kids get to benefit from that as she teaches them some of what she knows and challenges them and encourages them with their creativity. She also helps coach. She has been in soccer the last several years with varsity and middle school girls soccer. The girls love her. She helps with strength and conditioning in the sports and is just a great cheerleader to come alongside the girls, a great mentor, discipler, which is what we're about here at our school. But Angie's just a great friend as well. I have been able to teach her son Elliot, and then I've had Hazel on the soccer team that I've been able to coach. And it's just truly a pleasure to call her a friend. And we invited her and told her after she ran the Boston Marathon that we really wanted her to come on the podcast and just share about fitness and running, because that's something we believe in as well as a family. And we are just so proud of that accomplishment, that she set her sights on this and represented. You know, our school had a send-off for her that was super sweet.
Super sweet.
I think we caught her off guard.
Yeah, I was shocked. I had no idea.
Yeah.
It was super sweet.
The kids made a banner and signed it, and we had a prayer for her before she left, when she was leaving for her flight that weekend. But we just really want to dive in that today and just hear her story and what God has taught her through this experience. But first, we just want you to share a little bit about yourself. So tell us where you're from. You can share as much as you want about that. We do want to hear about your family, so about Ben and the kids. So you just take it away, Angie.
Okay. I'm from Macon, Georgia.
Macon.
Maconga, as some people say.
I've never heard that.
Maconga. That's awesome.
That is good.
South.
I've never heard
middle,
it put
South
that way.
Georgia.
Yeah.
Below the Nat line.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely. That's fun. Went to Mountain to Sales Academy in Macon. I then came to University of Georgia. Majored in exercise and sports science.
When did you graduate?
in high school?
No,
college.
Let's see, 97.
We graduated 95.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 97.
And you would have had some exercise classes.
Exercise and sports science. Yeah. My first degree.
That was not my degree. I was on the degree? Business campus.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
How did you go from exercise sports science to art?
Well, Ben and I got married in 98, and in high school, I wanted to be an artist. I was an artist, but I wanted to pursue my art.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't, encouraged, and, my parents thought I'd be a starving artist. And,
yes.
And so I I love exercise, too, and I love science. So I went into exercise science thinking I would be, athletic trainer. I was a trainer, student trainer at Georgia for a year or so. And then graduated with that degree. Ben and I got married in 98. And then I just always had the urge, that creative urge, to do artistic things and, talk to Ben about, well, what would you think if I tried one art class and just see at Georgia. And so he let me go back, and I did, and I loved it. It was a drawing class, and I thought, this is where I
found the sweet spot.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, went into the graphic design program. You have to turn in your portfolio and be accepted and all. Mm-hmm. So did that, graduated with that degree in 2002.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Was that a separate undergraduate?
So you have
two undergraduate.
Okay.
They didn't have a graduate program at the time. I think they do now. But anyway. That's that story.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hmm. So that's how I got into art. So
okay.
That's awesome.
Two separate ends of the spectrum.
That's really cool.
That's neat.
Thanks.
Came to Georgia, you stayed here?
Yes.
Okay.
Because Ben got a job here. He's a horticulturist. Mm-hmm. So right out of school, he didn't switch majors or go back. He stayed with his major.
He stuck with it.
And he has stuck with it. Okay. Yep. So he got a job at a tree farm. And so we stayed here. Okay. Yeah. So we've been here ever since.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Where's Ben from?
He's from Byron, Georgia.
Yeah, South Georgia.
South, right below Macon.
South Georgia.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool. So y'all got married in 98.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all are going on 24 years.
A little behind us,
24. Yeah.
When's y'all's anniversary?
July 18th.
Oh, it's coming up.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
That's good. Well,
congratulations. Okay, tell about your
early.
Kids.
Yeah.
We have four kids. Our oldest, Peyton, just graduated. And Henry,
how'd that feel?
It's exciting. It feels proper. Yeah. Like it's the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's good timing and it's just how it's supposed to be. So we're excited for him, and he's going to UGA, and he's following in our footsteps and going to be a dog.
Go dogs.
Go dogs.
Yeah.
So he'll be right down the road. Henry's a junior, Hazel is a freshman, and Elliot is a fifth grader. Mm. So last year in lower school.
Lower school, mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. So.
Mm. So how did you and Ben meet?
We had a mutual friend. So a girl that was in Ben's class down at Peach County High. Played softball with me, summer softball, and she said, "Hey, I have a friend that, she's kind of set us up," and we he came out to one of our softball practices, which is, if you know Ben, that was a big deal.
That's
for
big
him
deal.
To actually do that.
Yeah.
Did he have on his introvert shirt?
No, he didn't. I think he had on a Peach County High t-shirt.
Oh,
I remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we just kind of started talking that way. Yeah. Dated for a little while. Our story's not really linear as much as it is a zigzag.
Uh-huh.
We didn't date from, that point until the time we got married. So we had a few...
On and off,
hiccups, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So...
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. But we're here now, and it's great. So
yay.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that a little bit. Mm-hmm. The reason I brought up that introvert shirt was because the last time we were all together.
We were together at dinner, yes. Mm-hmm.
I looked at Ben's shirt, and it just says introvert.
Really tiny.
Really tiny.
You got that shirt for him, didn't you, Angie?
Well, I designed it, actually. You made it. It's called Inconspicuous Introvert. That's the name of the shirt.
Yeah. Oh, inconspicuous. Right. See, it was tiny. It was very, don't look yes. at me much.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. When I saw that, it made me laugh. It made me laugh. It was great. All right. So you just ran the Boston Marathon.
Yes.
You did that in April, right?
I did. April 18th.
April 18th. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so let's just back up before we get to that. I heard about the, you know, you studied exercise science and mm-hmm. physiology and stuff. How did you get into running? Have you always been a runner?
No, I've always enjoyed sports, mm-hmm. Any kind of sport, mm-hmm. any type of athletics. And I would run, like in high school, run just as much as the sport required. No long distance okay. or anything. So okay. probably just sprints because I mainly played softball. But And then in college, I started running a little more for fitness, but maybe a mile at a time. You know, I remember thinking, wow, I just ran 4 laps around the track.
Yeah.
this is a lot, which, I mean, it is, yeah. you know, it depends yeah. on where you are in your fitness. But, yeah. And then, let's see, so I did that, and then Ben and I got married, and the place I worked, I met a lady who became a really good friend, and she was a runner, and she mm-hmm. invited me to run with her, and okay. she was running 3 miles at the time, and I was like, oh, I could never do that. but she talked me into, you know, working on going farther, and I did, mm-hmm. and then, let's see, so, and then at church, I met a lady, her name's y'all may know her, Dale Tingle, a really good friend of mine. But she, Ben actually taught her son
uh-huh.
in Sunday school. So she found uh-huh. out I was a runner and she was running. And so she invited me to run with her and we would do, local 5Ks.
Okay.
And Ben did them too. And her husband, Steve,
yeah.
and,
yeah.
They actually helped start the school.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah. No, okay. Tingles. Yeah. Dale and Steve. Yeah. Dale and Steve. Yes, yeah. They're
that.
Great. Yes. So she was just encouragement to me in my running and my walk with Christ
yeah.
and just yeah she's just awesome. But so started out with 5Ks and then we graduated to the Thanksgiving Day half marathon in Atlanta. I think the first one was in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Did that and then I think Dale said, hey, let's do a marathon. And I was like, no way. There's no way I'm going to be able to do twice what I just did in a half marathon.
Right.
And I was, there's no way I can do it, which I hear so many people say that now. And I want to say, yes, you can do it.
Amazing what yeah. the human body can do.
Yeah.
It really
yeah,
is.
It can adapt. Yeah, you just have to train.
And training.
Train it. Yeah.
Right, what you can do with your training, mm-hmm. preparation.
Yeah. So she talked me into it. So the first talked me into a marathon, and our first one was in 2002.
Okay.
St. Jude's Marathon in Memphis.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was.
Wow.
It's tough. I mean, but
you remember your time?
That was your first marathon.
You remember your time with that one?
Yeah, I think it was 4:15:30.
Okay.
I got blisters all over my feet.
Ooh.
I think I've run 9 marathons, and I think during every marathon I've said, this is, I mean, I can't say everything I've said, but this is awful. Why am I doing this?
And you've done
what
how
was I
many?
Thinking?
9.
Mm-hmm. So 9 the funny marathons. Thing about running a marathon is you can think that during your race and then mm-hmm. almost as soon as you finish, cross the finish line, for me anyway, I'm like, oh, that was amazing. I've got to do that again.
Mm.
So,
wow.
With that race in Memphis, We finished on a baseball field. So we went in, and I love baseball. Like that's, I played softball growing up, loved baseball. My family was a sports family. We watched the Braves and the Falcons and we played all kinds of sports and watched sports. But so anyway, we finished, the finish line was in a baseball stadium, whatever their minor
league. You ran into the,
You entered the gate or the fence in the outfield and you ran around the warning track. And they called your name.
Oh my goodness.
Stadium speakers.
That is cool.
And so I don't know what their minor league team is in Memphis, but it was that stadium. And so, I mean, that was just so exciting to finish in that way. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
That's memorable.
And it was memorable. And anyway, so I was like, up until the finish line, or maybe up until that stadium,
saying,
I was like, I will never, ever do this again. And then, of course, I finished. I was like, that was awesome. I've got to experience that again. So,
and 9 different marathons in how many different states?
Let's see. So that was Memphis. And then the next one was Rocket City in Alabama. And then Atlanta, which was their inaugural Atlanta marathon. Where this funny thing, it's not funny, but they ran out of Gatorade. It was awful. I walked a good bit of that one because that was also a half marathon. And so they ran out of Gatorade. All the half marathoners, I think. Anyway, they just didn't plan well.
They did, yeah.
Ran to finish. Like, yes. I was like, I've got to get this over with. Yes. It was Atlanta. It was hot. I think it's in March. But anyway, so that was the third one. And then fourth one, I think was in Virginia.
Oh, you have gone.
So those first three, I was just trying to break 4
hours.
Okay.
Well, the first one, I was just trying to finish.
Right.
Like, that was my goal, just to finish. I had no idea what I could do.
Yep. Right.
Now, Dale always told me, she's like, you could qualify for Boston. I was like, there is no way I could ever, ever do that. But, I mean, you know, look at where I am now. It's amazing.
Yes.
But, so she was right. She's a good friend.
Yes.
But so,
what have you got to do to qualify? So let me time out.
Okay.
So to qualify for Boston Marathon, you've got to have what?
Well, it depends on your age and gender. So you have a qualifying time for each age and gender.
Okay.
So like for
female age group.
Female. And it's broken down into 5 years. So like female 30 to 35, or wait. Is that right? 30 to 35, 30, 34, and then 35 to 39. Anyway, so I was shooting for the 45 to 49, and so that was a 350.
Okay.
I had to get under 350 to qualify, but that doesn't automatically put you in the race.
Right.
It used to be if you had a qualifying time, I think it was a lottery, so everyone qualified and had a chance to be in the race.
Okay.
But now you if you have a qualifying time, it's the fastest people within that group who get in first. So you want a bigger cushion.
So they just go straight down.
Yeah, you want a bigger cushion. Like if you're 10 minutes under, then you're in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
So I ran a 3:42:18, which was a pretty good cushion, except it was so that was 2019, and then COVID hit 2020, so Boston 2020 didn't happen.
Right.
I would have easily gotten in with that cushion, but the next Boston included all the people for all those years, so...
Even though it didn't take place.
Right.
Yeah.
They opened up they made the window bigger.
Yeah.
And so the qualifying time you had to have was a lot faster than you normally would have to have. And so I missed it by 5 seconds.
Oh.
I missed the 2021 Boston by 5 seconds.
Ouch.
That was pretty
Was that hard?
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I might have cried a little bit.
Yeah.
I cried a little bit. But then I realized, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
And there are certain races that you're having, that they use as these qualifiers.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So it has to be a Boston qualifier. Now I did, so I missed it by 5 seconds, but I think a month or so later, I got an email saying, okay, well, you're so close. You can run in Boston. You're in if you
want to
be in.
But
by that time, the training window was so short, and my buddies hadn't gotten in. And so, can you hear
me? You just made the decision.
I just decided not to do it.
Okay.
And they had also switched from an April race to a fall race. So, I'm trying to remember. Because COVID was still running rampant.
Because of COVID, it was pushing it.
They pushed it to the fall.
Okay.
Anyway, so then registration opened up again for 2022.
Mm-hmm.
I still, my time still qualified me to run in that race. Well, yeah, still qualified me to run in, register for that race. And then I got in for this April.
So, when did you, where and when did you run that
qualifying race? That was Savannah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
In 2019, November of 2019.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That would have been a flat course.
Yeah, it was pretty flat.
Somewhat.
It's a great course.
A good run.
Yeah, it's a rock and roll with a rock and roll series. So a lot of bands
yeah,
along
bands
the course.
Play as you run by.
Oh, that would
I've
be awesome.
That.
Yeah, it was.
Still wouldn't
it was
want to
a
run
great
26.2 miles, but
yeah,
could walk
to
it.
That next band.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely.
Man.
So 9 marathons in 20 years.
Oh gosh, 20 years. I didn't think about it like that.
Has
like that.
Been?
Well,
was that
you
well,
ran your first one in 22. I mean, in
2002.
2002. So 20
the
years.
The country you've seen, the sea. I mean,
that's
I know
true.
You're running, but
yeah,
different places you've seen just with the experience.
And what's cool about this is that it started with one person speaking into your life and saying, "Hey,
you can do this.
You can do this."
Yeah.
Now, has she ever run it? And
she's run Boston twice.
Hmm.
Or she's qualified twice. I think she ran it once and second one she was injured.
Oh.
So she couldn't do that.
Wow.
So
that's neat.
Yeah.
Right. Her encouragement to you, you know, really spurred you on.
Yeah.
So how long ago was it? Because this kind of goes back to that one of the questions that, you know, when you set your sights on the Boston Marathon. So when was it that Dale said, "You can do the Boston"? Do you remember?
That was probably before the first one we did.
Hmm.
Wow.
I'm guessing. Hmm. But I was said, there's no way.
Right, you just didn't believe.
No, and then it wasn't until the last Dale got injured, and then so I ended up, I'm running with like another group now.
Uh-huh.
And so, and they were all shooting for Boston.
Okay.
And so.
A common goal. This running
exactly.
Group. Okay.
So that's, at that point, I was like, well, I'll try it. And so, and I ran, let's see, I'm trying to remember, Kiowa Marathon in 18 and missed it by a couple of minutes, missed qualifying by a couple of minutes. And then Tomoka Marathon in Florida in 2019. And I felt in that one, that was the first one where I thought I could actually have done, I could have qualified because I felt really
good
up until about mile 22. And then just, of course, I've never, you know, every marathon you get to a point where you don't feel, you don't feel great.
Oh, I would believe that.
But
five.
I felt strong in that one. And then so after that race, I was like, I've got to change something with my training plan. I need, my body needs more distance, more volume, more, you know. So I looked at marathon training plans. I had been doing one called the Furman plan. That's a 3-day-a-week plan and just one long run. And so I did some research and looked for a plan that just had more mileage, because I think that's what my body needs.
Mm-hmm. Like at one time, like, or just overall day of a long run, or
I think just weekly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Consistently,
right. Maybe not as much speed work, not as much tempo work.
Okay.
Because I think I'm not super fast, but I think I'm built more for speed than I am for distance. So I felt like I needed to train my body for more distance. Yeah. So anyway, I found a plan, the McMillan plan, and trained with that. And I think it made a huge difference. I qualified, and I had a, like, 7 or 8 minute PR. Personal record, so
wow.
Yeah,
that made cool.
A huge plus. Fueling is huge.
Yes,
I fueled more consistently.
What was your regimen there on fueling?
So, I would always try to fuel about every 6 miles.
Okay,
and I use like sport beans.
Yeah,
have you ever heard of those?
Oh yeah,
sport beans.
Yeah,
y'all know those soccer.
Oh yeah.
And then Gatorade blocks. I don't like the gels and
Gatorade blocks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like shot blocks, but they're mm-hmm. small anyway. So those, and I would alternate water and Gatorade, but I wasn't eating a whole lot each time I fueled.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized before Savannah, I need like to take the entire pack every 6 miles. So I had it written on my hand in Sharpie.
Yeah.
Because after a while, if you don't fuel right, you get a little loopy when
yes.
you're running, and so you can't really think. Yeah,
cognitively.
Like, what mile did I say I
exactly.
was gonna? So you get a little loopy. But every 6 miles, I ate a whole pack of the beans, and I stayed pretty clear. My mind did the entire race, and yeah, and it just everything came together that day. It was like the Lord blessed me that day, and.
It's really amazing how if you don't fuel your body correctly,
mm-hmm.
how things begin to change. Mm-hmm. You know, now I'm no marathon runner. I attempted to do a half marathon, and I think I told you earlier the amount of time that it took me to finish the half marathon, which is 13.1 miles. That's the time that you completed the. Actually, you did your marathons a lot faster. You know, in the sub 4 hours, but still though, if you don't fuel correctly,
right.
I mean, things will shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You lose. I've been in marathons where I'm like, what mile am I on?
Mm-hmm.
Or, and I've gotten to mile 18 and what happened to mile 16 and 17? I don't remember,
mm-hmm.
you know, you get a little loopy.
Yeah.
But
so what was it like training wise? You know, like, so if we were to go back, I mean, obviously you've got 20 years of marathon experience. Couple of things.
Okay.
One, what's the biggest difference between what you experienced at the Boston Marathon versus some of the other marathons that you ran, the qualifiers? And two, training for the Boston Marathon. Like,
okay.
What was it like? Like, what was your rhythm
training
like?
For Boston?
Yeah.
So, in training for Boston, we kind of had a mindset of, well, we just want to finish. Like, we just want to enjoy the day
mm-hmm.
because we've already done the work to get here. That's
mm-hmm.
the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
We trained well, but we didn't... we gave ourselves a little bit of wiggle room in the training. And so it was a 16-week program, and we the girls, my friends that did it with me, I mean, that's a huge part of training is, and as y'all know, having
mm-hmm.
your team
mm-hmm.
and this the support is amazing. Like we had, I mean, we kind of had a no man left behind mentality with training. Like if we do our long runs on Friday or Saturday, and if someone couldn't run Saturday
uh-huh.
and they were the only one that needed Friday, well, we would shift everything. If we could, we would shift and switch to Friday
mm-hmm.
To be there for them. And mm-hmm. if it meant starting at 4 a.m., we would start at 4 a.m., which I did We did. Several I came times. Into school on Friday mornings. Wow. Hobbled in here because we started at 4 a.m. to get in 18 or 20 miles.
Sheesh.
So, yeah, there was that. And then, yeah, we just, I mean, I couldn't have done it without them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Okay.
Now, this, so there was an experience you guys had in the marathon
in the
itself,
yeah.
where that mindset, that philosophy, that boundary you guys set up with no, you know, no man left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share that story?
Sure. Yeah. So we had decided before the race that we were going to stick together. Now, there are a couple of girls who are faster by a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But we all decided we're going to stick together because we're just running this. We just want to finish. And so that's how we started out. But we did, I said, before the race, I said, y'all, let's come up with a meeting place just in case for after the race, just in case we get separated for some reason, because you never know what's going to happen over 26 miles. So, but the plan was to stick together. And so after about 12 miles, I think it was, maybe 11, the two girls who are a little faster, they were feeling good, and we said, y'all, take off, you know, go ahead. The three that were left, we hung together for another couple miles, and then we had Heather, one of our friends, had just come back from Hawaii, so she had jet lag. Mm. She was not feeling it that day. It was just not her day.
Oh.
And so she said, y'all, go ahead. You're going to have to go ahead. And oh, that was a big struggle to try to leave her. And so Paul and I, you know, decided that if this were us, we wouldn't want someone waiting on us if we're not feeling great. So we made the tough decision to go ahead. And then so after another, so Paul and I ran together for another three or four, I think. And then Paula was feeling better than I was. So I said, no, actually, I didn't even say anything. She just took off, which is great, which is what I would have wanted her to do. She later apologized. Do not apologize. I think it's great. You do what you need to do. And so for the next 10 or so miles, the two in the lead were together. We didn't know that, but
right.
And then the three of us were on our own,
on
which
your
was
own.
Really,
yeah.
really
yes.
hard, super difficult. There, so many things went through my head. I mean, so many prayers, and I thought about the kids at school, and I was like, and there were so many times I wanted to stop. I mean, that course is a beast. It's tough. And I thought, I cannot tell those kids at school that I quit because I asked them to do hard things all the time.
That's right.
And
that's
I cannot
good.
Tell them I quit. That's I have
good.
Got to finish. And then, of course, I knew people were tracking me. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
my gosh, I'm slowing down
yes.
so much. But I don't even care. You know, I got to the point where.
Oh, man.
Because from mile 17 to 21 is basically uphill.
Is that the hill? Yes.
And Heartbreak Hill is at mile 21. And I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's like half a mile long. And it's not just that, it's where it is in the race. You're at mile 20,
yeah.
21.
Sure.
And so, anyway, that was difficult. But I got to a point where I was like, Lord, okay, don't let me die.
Number one,
I feel like I'm going to die, but please don't let me die. Because I didn't write any information on the back of my bib. I didn't write any of my emergency information on the back of my bib. Nobody's going to know who I am. Although, I mean, you have your bib number. They know who you are. But, I mean, like I said, you get a little loopy.
Yes.
And so, and then I said, Lord, just let me. I just want the medal. I want to cross the finish line.
Yes.
And I made it to Boston, and I want the medal.
Yes.
The finisher's medal. And so I kept trucking, walking, running, you know, and it was very difficult. It was the hardest race I've ever done. But, and so at mile 24, I'm chugging along, barely, barely running. I was running, but I was barely running. And I hear my name, and it's Paula, who had taken off because she was feeling good, who I thought I would never see until we crossed the finish line. And she was not feeling great then, and she was walking. And I, and there, y'all, there are people everywhere, like, in this race. It's not spread out. And just the odds of finding her were pretty slim. And so we were just in tears and so excited and
reunited.
So I was thinking, well, at least Paula and I get to finish together.
Yes,
this is amazing.
She said,
have you seen Heather? I said, no, I haven't seen her. I expected to see her because I had stopped for a porta potty break at one point. And I thought, well, maybe Heather's caught
would
up to
along.
Me. Right. I didn't see her. And so we Paula and I kept going. And then we got into Boston, and we're almost at mile 26, and I hear my name again, and it was Heather.
Whoa.
And I mean, we started crying and screaming. And,
now it's the
and
three
I thought,
of you.
God, and I just thought, God, did you really do this for us?
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Yeah.
And so we finished together. I mean,
crossed the line
together. So if you see our finish line picture, you wouldn't know.
Right, that you had been separated.
That we had been separated for 10 miles.
Mm.
And it was just an amazing. It was beautiful. It was so amazing.
That was a sweet gift.
It was a sweet gift, that he gave us,
That's cool. Yeah. Okay, go back. What were your questions you asked her about the Boston Marathon?
How
was that?
Different than the other?
Oh, yeah, different from the other ones. I wanted to go back.
She basically answered it.
It's the hardest. It's the hardest marathon she's ever run. And just with the with where Heartbreak Hill is at the towards the end of the race, I mean, good grief! I mean, you've already put in 20 miles. 20 miles running 20 miles is gonna be, I mean, that's hard anyway. But then when you get to that point, I don't know what the elevation gain is at that point. But when your body has spent that much energy, and you have to hit that hill at that point in a race, I can't imagine.
And the thing about Boston too is, from mile one to maybe 15 or so, it's a gradual downhill. There are some bumps, not bumps, but some little inclines, but it's a gradual downhill, which sounds like a breeze, but it's really hard.
That's hard
on your quads because it's an eccentric contraction.
Yes.
Anyway, that's an exercise science thing, but you're breaking down your muscles and then you start climbing uphill and they're already taxed. And I had to stop four times just to stretch my quads because they were starting to lock up. Because of, I think, that downhill. Mm. So, anyway, it was a beast.
Wow.
But it was an amazing experience overall.
Yes.
But it was what I tell people is it was awful and amazing all at the same time.
Do you say that you would want to do Boston again, or do you just now say there's just other marathons or other things I might want to do?
Well, you know, during the race, I thought, if I can get this finisher's medal, I will never, ever, here I go again, I will never, ever do this again. I'm going to walk. I'm never going to even run again. I really did. I'm never running again. I will never do this again. And then it took about 48 hours.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do this better.
Improve, yeah.
Yeah, because I know I can do this better.
That's that competitor.
Love it.
That's that grit.
Yeah.
That fight.
Dig deep and figure out how to do this better. So that's kind of where I am right now.
We've
started ramping up and training for it's a race in September, a Boston qualifier. It's a 1 mile loop.
Yeah, okay.
Oh yeah.
And it's over near Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And so you do a 1 mile loop 26
the
times.
Same loop. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's what we're working towards right now. So stay tuned.
Your group is
my group,
still the group.
Yeah, minus one of us.
So do you need a crew to help crew you on that? If you're
That'd
doing a 1 mile loop.
Well, one of our Paula did this. She used this race to qualify
herself,
right? And so we went, and we were there as her support crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's helpful. Yeah.
Because I had that experience to be able to crew for a friend of mine that mm-hmm. did. It's called the Murder Mile in Tennessee. It's the Mid-State Mile. They actually do a couple of races. They do the Mid-State Mile in the summer, and they do the Tennessee Mile in the winter, like in December. And they have different, like, events. And the guy that I crewed for, he did the 24-hour race and did 63 miles in 24 hours.
No, thank you.
And, oh, man.
But, come on.
No,
you
no.
You just add that
but
to
here's,
your list.
But here's what's interesting
I'm okay.
about that.
You
I'm
could
good.
Do
I'm
it.
Good. Well, I could, but this, I don't want to.
This guy did the, he did a 200-miler in Utah. So this was, I don't want to say it was a cakewalk because this is not a cakewalk race at this particular location, but to be able, he had his fastest lap on his last lap.
Wow. Yeah.
It was one
There's
of his
There's something
fastest.
About the finish.
Yeah.
Seeing the finish.
Yeah.
And if you, yeah, finding that kick.
Uh-huh.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. So, that would be awesome to build a crew for you.
Yeah. Come on, y'all. Come on out.
That's something we
when
can
is
do.
It?
Yeah.
I'll have to September 4th, maybe?
Oh, so Labor Day weekend.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Early September.
Okay.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
That would be, yeah.
Yes. We need to do that.
Yay. I'd love it.
That would be cool.
I'll give you my list of things I need.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just kidding.
Absolutely.
We
we'll have
can
to get
that.
Some of the Get Salty britches.
Get Salty britches. Yeah. That'll be great.
They would appreciate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, last question, Lisa.
Oh, well, I was going to ask, just kind of in wrapping up, yeah, can you tell us some things that the Lord has taught you in Scripture several times, specifically Paul as a writer in the New Testament? He likened the Christian faith as a race, as there, it talks about runners and running for the prize and not aimlessly. So what are just some things that the Lord has taught you, some spiritual truths through your experience with running and doing these races and marathons?
Wow. So many things. I'll say that probably about a week after I came back from Boston, you know, you're still hyped up and, you know, everybody's so sweet about celebrating with you and realizing that that's a great accomplishment, but it just hit me that, you know, this is not, how do I say this the best way? Even though I've, for regular running people, this is like, this is like your Olympics.
This is a pinnacle.
And
yes.
Even that can't fill the hole that only Jesus can fill, you know? So there's that, you know, that's, and then, I think it makes me think about, I don't know if y'all have ever seen that Tom Brady interview. Have y'all talked about that on this podcast?
Or is that on the 30 for 30?
I can't
ESPN
remember.
I'll
try to find it. But just basically the guys asking him, you're basically the best quarterback of all time. You have all these accolades. You've won Super Bowls. And Tom Brady basically says he's not fulfilled. And I think the guy said, what would make you? And Tom Brady says, I have no idea. And I'm thinking, Jesus.
That's sad. Yeah.
It's very sad
yeah.
That he just doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so
But without that hope in Christ, we do. We tend to go from...
Yeah.
And we put those levels or trophies that we need to reach.
Yeah. I mean, I could do Boston 1,000 times and it's still, you know, it does. It doesn't matter. So just focusing on the right thing and glorifying Christ through the gifts he's given you. And just using your gifts well. I've had a few things. I think you need to think about, like, for everybody, not everybody's going to go to Boston, but figure out what your Boston is. Like, what is your Boston? It may not be actually going to run the Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
I think most people could train and run a marathon. But, you know, you may not get to Boston. But there is something that you're gifted to do. And you need to do it with excellence. So figure out what that is. That's what I try to tell my kids and then our students. You know, and don't compare yourself to others.
That's big.
He's created each of us, you know, uniquely. And I tell my art students, don't, you can look at someone else's mark they make on their paper, but don't compare yours because you're completely different. And every mark that you make is beautiful because it's not because of that you did it. It's because God made you.
That's good.
And just, so
that's cool.
That's really good.
That is good.
What is your Boston? That's a great question. That's something I'm going to think about. Yeah, a lot. And I think what you're talking about, Angie, along those lines, is that what is the hard thing that you need to set your sights on? Because nothing grows in comfort. You're going to grow in the hard. That's where growth happens. And it's just kind of like a seed. Well, if you plant a seed, that seed has to die in order for it to produce life, for it to produce fruit. For us as human beings, we have to do those hard things in our lives if we're going to grow. We have to go through the hard. Sometimes those hard things are self-inflicted. Sometimes those hard things are the consequences of somebody else's actions. And then there are some things, like in this case, physically speaking, that we set our sights on, saying we're going to do that. And we're going to push our body, we're going to push our minds, we're going to push our hearts and our souls towards that end, because it's more than just the getting the finisher's medal. It's about what happens to us as people and what happens to us internally, emotionally, physically, mentally, the holistic part, and how we grow as a human being, and how we grow as spiritual people. Those things, your life, when you finish the Boston Marathon, your life will never be the same because of what you experienced. And not because you finished the Boston Marathon, but because of what you experienced between not just mile one, but between the times that you started training, the people
journey.
You were with, and the time that you spent up there, started mile one, and finished at 26.2. And those lessons that you learn are forever and can be intertransferable to what we do in life, whether it's being an art teacher, a third grade teacher, working with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, pastoral ministry, business, you name it, all of those things that you learn from doing those hard things are transferable to what we do every day. And it's, I love the question, what is your Boston? So now I've got to find out what my Boston is going to be.
And two, I think as we leave people with that, you know, think on that. think on what is your Boston, what is your hard thing. But I also think a thread that ran through what you shared, Angie, and just today, was having encouragers along with you. Mm-hmm. So you think of what your heart is, but also look around and be perceptive to maybe those around you that you can come alongside and you encourage them in their heart.
Yep. Right.
You encourage them to go to the next level with something maybe that, you know, God lays on their heart or is challenging them with. So I think that's just a good word. Let's think of what is our heart that we need to look at and put as a goal, and then who can we cheer along the way and come alongside to help in their heart.
So one last thing, Angie, how, if somebody wanted to reach out to you, like social media,
right?
What's the best place to reach out to you? And connect
so
you?
I'm on Instagram at the Peachy Pen. It's my public.
Cute.
Yeah. It's my artist Instagram.
Yeah.
Or they can email me at asanders@wcalions.org.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we'll put those in the show notes.
Yeah.
So,
thanks.
Absolutely. Angie, thanks for joining us
yes.
today.
Yes.
Thank you.
This was great.
You did amazing.
You're like a
thanks.
Pro.
Thanks.
She might
you can
start
see
her
why
own.
The Lord did not
you
call me into
You could start your
rock.
Own, like a running podcast.
That is not my other Boston.
She was gonna, quick with that.
Yes, no, she was.
I know for sure that the Lord
yes,
is not
was.
Calling me
okay.
to be in broadcasting or public speaking.
Well, you
but
did
thank
awesome.
You so much for having me.
We were glad to have you, yes. Thank you for sharing the story, and I know it will encourage and inspire others.
Yes, it definitely will. And thank you guys for tuning in. We're so grateful for each of you. If there's anything that Lisa or I can pray about for you, please send us an email at thecourtofthree@gmail.com, or you can also reach out to us on our Instagram pages, and we'll have those included in the show notes. Until then, or until we hear you or you hear us again, you guys have a great day, great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening.
Peace out.